This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Joyce Goh, and you're listening to The Property Show, the program that gets behind the issues of property ownership. Joining us today is our Fong Yi, Managing Director and Editor-in-Chief of HProp.my. Fong Yi, welcome to the show.
Hi, Joyce. Great to be here.
Well, let's start with HProp.my, that story. Tell us, how did this website come about and, you know, how was that idea conceptualized?
This started close to 3 years ago, you know, when we sat down and thought about, you know, the changing landscape of the media industry. There's no doubt that, you know, digital is the way forward. Of course, you know, we are not just going to keep to just print alone. So we realized that we need a property website, a website that, more importantly, democratize news and data so that we can help property investors make better investment decision. Because print is great and print is here to stay for a long, long time, digital is equally important because it's all about timing. You know, it's more about like today's news today, for instance. Hence, we reckon that, you know, this certainly is the way forward for us.
Okay, so in the past 3 years, what are the property trends that you've observed, you know, in recent years when it comes to this industry?
Yeah, for sure, there's a lot more talk on the affordability of homes. You know, I think so much so that to me, Joyce, the definition of affordable homes is actually in a state of confusion. I mean, you know, you talk to A, what is affordable to A is not necessarily affordable to B, and, you know, and so on and so forth. So I think that is one of the things that need to be first threshed out before everybody just jumps on the bandwagon and talk about affordable homes without really knowing what he or she is talking about. No different from, for instance, you know, those days before this, one of the sexy topics was green homes, right? Everybody was talking about green homes, right? Again, you know, what is a green home? You know, just because you have rainwater harvesting equipment in your bag, does that make your home a green home? Not necessarily. There are a lot of other attributes, you know, before your home should be labeled as a green home. So, by the same token, for affordable housing, you know, there's been a lot of talk. Not necessarily very, very healthy, but it's certainly something that government needs to step in and clarify once and for all. Hey, look, guys, you know, this is our definition. When you guys talk about affordable homes, let's stick to this so that, you know, won't get into each other's hair. For instance, you know.
In your opinion, you've been in this industry for you've been covering property for close to 25 years now, right?
Ooh, yes. Thank you for reminding me. Yes.
Well, you're a veteran in this industry. So in your opinion, when it comes to affordable housing, right, how achievable is that realistically in Malaysia? You know, because you see different segments. One side, you have the property players saying, we have the properties, we have affordable homes.
Yes.
And then you have the other side, you have data coming out from Bank Negara saying that actually it's not enough. Where are you pricing it? You know, so in your opinion, where is the balance and how realistic is it for Malaysia to go down this path of affordable housing?
So you're absolutely right, Joyce. You know, I think to talk about something like that, first we have to identify and, you know, to be clear as to what we mean by affordable homes. Are we saying that the homes are cheap, or are we saying that the homes are not relatively cheap, but, you know, people still cannot afford to pay? What is it that we're talking about? Precisely the point, you know, what is affordable home? Very true. If you look at the overhang of residential homes in Malaysia right now, don't be surprised to see, you know, a big chunk of it actually are relatively cheap homes.
Oh.
Yeah, I say relative because it is indeed relative. You know, I mean, 1 million to some people is very cheap, but to a lot of people it's really expensive.
Yeah,
so it's relative, right? Mm. So, but if you look at the numbers, a big chunk of the overhang right now, those units that have been launched, built, idle, it makes a very sizable portion of the overhang, right? So then you say that, hey, But that's affordable homes, right?
How much is that? About thereabouts, the range, the price range for this overhang where you're seeing that it's relatively affordable?
Okay. If I'm not mistaken, according to NABIC, as at the first quarter of 2018, if you were to include the likes of SOHO and service apartment, and call them residential units as well, we would have an overhang of about 34,000 homes that are actually ready, built, not sold. Idle, right? And the cost of these units come up to about 22 billion ringgit.
Okay,
that's really big. Yeah.
But what is the price point for these? Are they like in the millions, do you think? Or is it...
Okay. Yeah, maybe this might help us to understand the situation a little bit better. If you were to look at the 34,000 units, low-cost houses, low-cost flats, and, you know, the regular flats that will cost up to maybe about 200,000, that constitute about 5% of the number. Mm. Yeah. So, okay, you may think that, oh, okay, 5% not too bad, right? No, but in terms of, like, you're talking about, on the one hand, there are people who need these homes, but at the same time, these homes are ready and lying idle there, and they're not being stayed in. Why?
Is it because of location, do you think?
Mismatch, yes, definitely. Mismatch of the type of houses, and more importantly, the location. You're absolutely right. You know, for the B40 and so on and so forth, right? If you were to have this nice house, okay, 700 over square feet in built up in a faraway area where there's no employment opportunities, there's no connectivity, what is that guy going to do? And there are no schools nearby. How is he going to live? It is impossible, right? So basically, it's a matter of mismatch. Then we come to affordability in the sense that can he afford to pay, right? A lot of people in this rich bracket, actually, they can't. They can't get a loan.
Okay.
So you that's the reality.
Yeah, you think it's the financing part as well, because
absolutely,
they cannot.
All right. Absolutely. Of course, then there'll be other argument. Economists will say that, you know, ratio to GDP, you know, household debt is now at about 84%, which is very high. Well, some people say it's high, some people say it's not high enough. It depends on who you talk to and what their interest is. You know, basically, that's always the case, right? But the fact remains that whatever you do, however you're going to massage those figures, if need to, right? These people just cannot afford to pay. You know, whether or not they can get a loan now, yes, it's important, but honestly, it's also irrelevant. Even if they can get a loan now, based on whatever, they can get a guarantor or whatever, can he afford to pay?
Do you think it's also because of the pricing of the units, or do you think it should come down even lower?
A lot of, you know, people have talked about, you know, whether or not the houses in Malaysia, the property prices in Malaysia are much higher than and how they should be.
Why it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, on the other side of the coin, you have the likes of the radar, the developers saying that, hey, you know, we have a lot of issue. Yeah. I suppose this not a situation whereby, you know, A is right or B is wrong. It's not quite the case. But I suppose if we were to go back to basics, you know, let's look at how property prices can be reduced. What is it that the government can do realistically, right? For instance, you know, one of the often challenges that developers have brought out, you know, in so far as, you know, talking about property prices is concerned, is the cost of doing business. Actually, you don't need rocket science to try to do something about that for a start. Just make the whole process more transparent.
That's true.
You know, once, you know, that is the landscape that, you know, the business is done, I'm quite sure that a lot of improvements can be made already. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And they also have the compliance
cost
that they have to factor in as well.
Absolutely, Joyce. And of course, you know, ultimately, land is a state matter. So the respective states have a lot of say, right? And you know, this actually ranges from like the Bumi Putra quota down to the compliance costs and the release mechanism for the unsold Bumi Putra quota units, for instance. You know, if there's transparency and there's consistency, no flip-flopping, you know, I'm confident that that would go a long way to help regulate prices a little bit and make, you know, life a little bit more easier for a lot more people.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm speaking to Ao Fung Yee, Managing Director and Editor-in-Chief of HProp.my. After this, we'll talk more about property and also get Fung Yee's views on whether or not there's a housing bubble or are we in a housing cycle. Stay tuned to The Property Show, BFM 89.9. Good morning, you're listening to The Property Show. I'm Joyce Goh and our guest today is Ao Fung Yee, Managing Director and Editor-in-Chief of HProp.my. Fung Yee, earlier we were talking about the property sector and the affordability of houses and residential units in Malaysia. Now, given your vast experience in the industry as you've covered this for decades now, do you think we're in a housing bubble or a housing cycle?
Thanks, Joyce. First and foremost, I wouldn't say that, you know, I have vast knowledge of, you know, what the industry is all about. I'm learning every day. Hence, you know, the beauty of being a journalist, right?
Mm.
Yeah. Housing bubble versus housing cycle. You know that, saying that, you know, this country is going through a housing bubble, blah, 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 that's quite a sexy story, you know.
Sexy headline.
Yeah, mm. Absolutely. And I suppose it makes people, you know, when they talk about housing bubble, I can imagine that it makes them feel quite important and quite learned in a way. But do they really know what is a housing bubble? I think statements and description, you know, such as housing bubble must be made, in a very responsible manner, because it can actually create a wrong perception of what the market is all about and even a state of panic, which we are not looking forward to, right? By my own understanding, housing bubble theoretically means that, you know, just imagine this in property landscape, prices soar. You know, drastically, you know, they just like, they shoot through the roof. And then, okay, it comes down.
Mm.
Yeah. Equally drastic. That's a bubble.
Okay.
So what we're seeing is bubble normally follows an exuberant rise in prices over a very short period of time. So it's very, very bumpy.
Mm.
Property cycle is a bit different. Okay, property cycle is actually a bit more gradual. Again, this is the way that I understand it, yeah, Joyce?
Yes.
It is more like a consolidation. You know, just imagine you're having a meal, right? Then after that, you just allow the digestion to take place. And then you feel hungry, then you start eating again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually more property cycle. But if you look at the transaction numbers for the Malaysian property market, we haven't had like a exuberant rise in property prices or transaction numbers for a long, long time.
Okay.
You know, we've been in a protracted period of consolidation. You know, prices have generally not fallen. That's a fact. I mean, depending on who you talk to, right?
Yeah.
If you talk to people who wants to buy a home tomorrow, right, because he hasn't bought a home, he'll tell you prices are slumming.
Okay.
But if you talk to people who have just bought a house and who's not going to buy another house, you say, no, prices are rising.
Mm.
So, you know, generally it's like that, right? Mm. Generally, yeah. So, you know, that is a property cycle, the way I look at it, yeah. So, Joyce, have you seen a very exuberant rise in property prices in a very short span of time in recent years?
No, I guess it also depends on the location.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What you're saying for me is that right now we're more of in a housing cycle rather
Precisely.
Than a housing bubble.
Precisely.
Yeah. So what are the transaction numbers telling you? Because you have the data.
Okay.
What are they telling us?
Okay. Over and above the data that we have, because, you know, at HProp.my, we actually we believe in numbers. We look at the numbers. We listen to the numbers, you know. We chat with the numbers because we do analysis. So we do a lot of stuff like that because we have an in-house research team as well.
Mm.
So we do a lot of that. If you look at the numbers, definitely the volume of transaction has shrunk.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't even have to look at the numbers.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody knows, right? I mean, you just have to talk to people on the road, they'll tell you that. Yeah. But does it mean that, you know, transaction has come to a halt? It's not true. It really, like what you just mentioned, Joyce, and it's very true, it really depends on the property type, the area, and the pricing. I think the price point is very important right now. You know, if you're trying to launch a property project that's a million and above, it is not going to be easy. You can still sell. It doesn't mean you cannot sell, but you have to work a lot more harder.
Mm.
But if you were to put homes, say, like double-story link houses, in a well-managed and a well-planned township. Not in the heart of town because that's impossible, quite close to town with accessibility, and you price it at about a half a million price point, it can sell.
Okay.
Well, not half as easy as maybe 3-4 years ago. And it's not because it's lack of interest, but it's because of the loan issue.
I see.
The availability of getting the loan.
Okay.
And to a certain extent, it's actually by design. Because of the 70% LTV, loan-to-ratio, third property.
Okay.
And that's actually put in there for a good reason, for a good measure, to cool the market, to ensure that there's no speculation, right? So is the market dead? No. Is it like roaring? No. Yeah. So are developers selling? Yes. Is it easy? No, not necessarily. But from the consumer's point of view, perspective, it is not a bad thing, right?
Yeah,
you have a lot more choices out there.
And maybe good deals as
It's a buyer's market.
Yeah, so it's a buyer's market, you're saying.
It is.
Or in your opinion, from your data,
yeah,
where are the popular spots right now when it comes to properties?
Hot spots, if we are talking about those that are generally a little bit more affordable by the masses, right? So we're not talking about KLCC. Mm. We're not talking about Damansara Heights. We are not even talking about Bandar Utama, Taman Tun. So we are talking about the outskirts, the immediate outskirts. You know, those are the areas that are coming up. The TODs. I think, you know, the connectivity is very important. You know, when you have MRT stations and, you know, there's a lot of accessibility. Maybe the likes of, you know, the Semenye area. You know, that's very interesting. And there'll be pockets of land maybe in Cheras, in Puchong.
Okay.
Yeah. So these generally will not be developed by the established developers. You know, chances are these are very small plot of of spaces that are privately owned. And hence, you know, they are developed in a very small scale and low-key area for the people in that area. But of course, one thing to take note is the profile of these developers is very important.
Mm.
You know, are they strong enough? You know, will they take you for a ride? Because they are not branded. So that is one consideration that one must have before you jump into something like that. Yeah. Mm.
Coming back to the good deals, I mean, that's subjective, but do you see, you know, some properties that are perhaps up for sale at a very good price coming from these more, secondary market for like the likes of at Damansara Heights, KLCC, all these areas. Do you see some properties coming up from there? Good
definitely,
deals?
Definitely they will be, but they will not be like hordes of them, you know, few and far in between.
Okay.
And you know what is the most ironical thing, you know, every time you hear of a so-called great deal, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's gone.
That is true.
Yeah.
But earlier you were talking about volume of transactions is down, right? Looking at your data.
Yeah.
But do you see that potentially picking up? Can you see that maybe perhaps we have reached the bottom? Do you think so when it comes to the property sector?
It is very difficult to predict whether or not we have bottomed.
Okay.
Because a lot of it actually will be dependent on, you know, what is going to be unveiled, you know, by the government in its upcoming national housing policy, for instance.
Mm, that's right. September, end of this month.
And by the end of this month. Mm. And also, you know, the sentiments about the Malaysian economy. You know, because we are in a new era now, we're into new Malaysia.
Mm.
All of things are new. We all knew, right, from day one that it's not going to be a bed of roses. Yeah, it's not going to be a stroll in the park, you know. They're going to be humps and bumps. And indeed, we are going into that right now. So there's a little bit of uncertainty, and unsettling for some people. So I guess a lot of people will still be like holding back and watching.
Okay.
Yeah. But if you talk to the developers, I have.
Yes.
And those few whom I've spoken into, you know, shared with me the feedback that generally they seem to be a little bit more interest.
Okay.
Yeah. And at least people are trying to find out, you know, about like, what's upcoming and stuff like that. But whether or not they are confident enough at this point in time to just jump in, that is to be seen.
Fong Yi, speaking about the national housing policy that's coming up end of this month, you talk to developers all the time. So what's the anticipation upcoming? I mean, what do they expect to come out from this?
I suppose, you know, there's a long wish list out there, you know, among the industry players, the stakeholders. But in reality, I think, you know, for me, Joyce, right, I can't speak on their behalf, but for me, I think what is important is for the government is to ensure that, you know, there's a need for, there is clarity in guidelines. I think this is very important. You know, one of the often complained of situation, you know, of a government is the flip-flopping. I think that's not very, very healthy, you know, because looking at it from an investor's point of view, be it local or foreign, and of course we do need FDIs, right? I think, you know, any flip-flopping and any rolling back of rules and regulation, it's not going to help us. Yeah, it's not going to get us very far. I think that's very important. And the other thing for me, the constant engagement with the stakeholders is very, very important, you know. In the past, we have had seen, you know, guidelines that have taken the industry by surprise. Sometimes not just the industry, but even among civil servants. You know, when an announcement is made, say like in the tabling of a budget in Parliament, you know, suddenly, you know, there's this new announcement. They say, hey, what's that all about? That's not good, because we need the input of the stakeholders in the industry for anything to work, because more to the input would be the buy-in. Because it's not a one-way, you know, a one-sided kind of affair, you know. It is something for everybody. Whatever the government is doing, it's for the people, for the country. So the constant engagement is important. I do realise, I mean, you know, engagement means problem, you know, people will tell you a lot of things, you know,
complaints
and stuff like that. But that's inevitable. And hopefully that's what New Malaysia is all about.
From your data, are you seeing more people moving into renting, or they would still prefer to buy property?
I think there's a mix. Because if you look at the mentality of Malaysians, this part of the Asians, home ownership is very important. You know, but of course, after having said that, we also realize, you know, in our conversation with the younger generation, that it is not so important. It's about lifestyle.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not so much as I own 5 homes, 10 homes, no homes, 1 home, you know. But you see, we are in a transition kind of a period where the older generation is still there. And for them, it's like, you know, buying homes for our children, making sure that they have a roof over their head is so important. So you can see that, you know, the interest is still very much there. But for the younger generation, maybe not as important. Yeah. They also believe in, like, you know, they may not think that staying on in a place for 20 years is important. After 2 years, I might just want to move on to a new place, right? It's all about lifestyle. They're all global citizens, right?
That's true.
Yeah, so absolutely, there seems to be a trend. That's not a rush into this new trend, but definitely it's emerging.
Well, interesting stuff, Fong Yi, but unfortunately, we've run out of time.
Yeah.
I've been speaking to Ao Fong Yi, Managing Director and Editor-in-Chief of HProp.my. Fong Yi, thank you for being on the Property
Show
today.
Thank you for having me.
It was great having you on the show and for sharing your insights. I'm Joyce Goh for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to BFM.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.